Well, you raise a lot of important questions. I mean, theoretically, the Democratic Party could have become the party that really helps blacks. I would say that the Democratic Party is the party that really hurts blacks. That's the irony. They run all the cities in which black crime, mostly against blacks, is so high. They run it. And blacks keep voting for the people who use them. Blacks are used by the Democrats. Women are used by the Democrats. Asians are used by the Democrats. He said he thinks that calling every white who disagrees with the left racist cheapens the word racist. He's entirely right. It is amazing to me that the Anti-Defamation League, supposedly protecting Jews, doesn't object to the left's use of the term Nazi, which cheapens the Nazi evil. You should have seen the movement to not go to Hyatt hotels because the Hyatt Hotel in Washington, D.C. allowed CPAC. Right? And the typical tweet was, how does Hyatt Hotels allow Nazis? So if every Republican supporter of President Trump is a Nazi, the Nazis weren't so bad. Let's be honest. Anyone who believed that the other party was Nazi would leave the country, wouldn't they? We continue. I'm Dennis Prager. Results from adequately powered, well-designed, and well-conducted clinical trials are needed to provide more specific evidence-based guidance on the role of ivermectin in the treatment of COVID-19. However, the NIH has said that for other things, quote, ivermectin has been widely used and is generally well-tolerated. God. Well, it's a bad day when a talk show host knows more about how to treat COVID than most doctors and the NIH. I claim that I am such a person. And it is with no pride that I say it. It is with embarrassment for my country and shame for the medical profession. Slovakia becomes the first EU nation to formally approve ivermectin for both prophylaxis and treatment COVID-19 patients. The Slovakia Republic's Minister of Health has formally registered ivermectin as an approved prophylaxis and treatment for SARS-CoV-2, the virus behind COVID-19. In breaking news, the authorization occurred yesterday. That's a couple of weeks ago, as doctors received the news that they could proceed with formally authorized prescriptions both in hospitals and outpatients. The mortality rate in nursing homes in Germany is about 25% to 30%. After treating about 100 residents with ivermectin, the rate in one case series apparently went down to, what do you think the number is?
Zero.
No. From 25 to 30% to 5%. So all of you who have supported the doctors and Fauci and the others not recommending ivermectin, you have participated in death. But you're a nice person, so you live with yourself. And that's fine. I don't want you not to be able to live with yourself. I want you to do penitence. God, it's disgusting. The number of lives shattered because of death and because of livelihoods ruined because we wouldn't use ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and zinc. There's not been, in modern times, there's not been as irresponsible a choice made by authorities as that. There is nothing comparable in the medical world. How about this one? You hear about all these people saying, oh, well, if you get the vaccination, you could still transmit the virus. This is a new one. Jerusalem Post, coronavirus, can a vaccinated person still spread COVID? Several Israeli research teams are getting very promising results that the answer is no. This is from 2 days ago. After nearly 2 months, Israeli data is beginning to confirm what Pfizer already knew. Their coronavirus vaccine stopped symptomatic and severe COVID-19. There is growing evidence that people who get vaccinated do not spread the virus very much, if at all. So I have a question. Why is Fauci telling people to wear masks even after vaccination? Abundance of caution, AOC. That's what it stands for, AOC. Abundance of caution. Earlier this week, a SARS-CoV-2 immunity and reinfection evaluation report by Public Health England was preprinted online by the peer-reviewed Lancet Medical Journal that evaluated staff working in publicly funded hospitals in the UK. The study measured the impact of a single dose of the Pfizer vaccine over an 8-week period and found, quote, strong evidence that vaccinating working-age adults will substantially reduce asymptomatic and symptomatic SARS-CoV-2 infection and therefore reduce transmission of infection in the population. Wearing a mask. I got a question for you folks. How's this? If the vaccine is effective, and it apparently is, why do you care if other people wear masks? Somebody's got to explain that to me. Yeah, I got the vaccination, but you better wear a mask. Or even more bizarre, I'll wear a mask. That's why this nonsense of it will need passports in order to travel. If you're worried about contracting the illness, get vaccinated, and that ends the issue. What do you care if I'm vaccinated or not? We're going to still have to sit in airplanes and breathe in our own carbon dioxide for 5 hours? I can't tell you. I've traveled 130 countries, every single state, basically every week for much of my life. And I not only have no problem with travel, it is a joy. But I rue going to Wisconsin this week, sitting on a plane, wearing a mask, knowing what a fraud I'm participating in. Total fraud, because while you eat, you don't have to do it. As it should be. But the ultimate fraud is, if you got a vaccine, why do you care if I wear a mask? That will be very interesting to hear an answer to. Talking about the people like Ben Shapiro and others, they are incapable of grasping the scientific truth. It's now scientific truth on the left. Scientific truth. That gender is fluid, exists on a spectrum, and is not necessarily a function of genitalia. It's not only a function of genitalia, it's a function of chromosomes. What do you say to that? That's a that's an inconvenient truth for a woman like Robin on Up Carrion. Do you see how the left destroys science? They're destroying math. Do you know that the Gates Foundation, for this alone, Bill Gates' name will go down as a mockery. He will be mocked by history. $1 million from his foundation to groups that are teaching that math does not have a right answer, because the assumption that math has a right answer is white supremacist. You know, I couldn't make this stuff up. I literally could not make this stuff up. Who would think this up? And Gates, Bill Gates, gave $1 million to this program to ruin mathematics. Would Microsoft have hired people who didn't believe that there was a right answer in math? Just out of curiosity. God, what? You see, all of this is make-believe. It's a make-believe world. Because if there aren't crises and battles, crises to be engaged in, battles to be fought, these people have no meaning in their lives. It's a soulless world, the world of the left. And literally, it is soulless. There was a piece in the New York Times. It was incredible. It was in the New York Times last week. I had not seen it for some reason. Sometimes I miss a piece. So the living martyr saw it. And how ironic, because at my synagogue on Zoom, where I speak every week and have for 25 years, mostly in person, now in Zoom. I would go in person, but it's hard to find a place that will allow it in California. I spoke about the adamant nature of the Bible's distinction between human and animal. And sure enough, last week, a professor of philosophy wrote a piece that we are no different at all from animals. In fact, we are essentially squirrels. In fact, he ends it by saying the squirrels are better than us. They can jump onto trees better. That was an important point, yes. It's a soulless world, and it needs to fill its emptiness with meaning. So the left finds meaning in these battles. Potato head. Sex doesn't exist. Gender is fluid. Gender is fluid. Why is this a brand new scientific idea? Why didn't science know gender is fluid? You didn't need modern test labs, right? Why didn't science, if this is scientific truth, why didn't science know this 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago or 50 years ago? Gender is fluid? Your identification with it might be fluid, but it isn't fluid any more than math answers are fluid. But that's the whole point. Everything is fluid on the left, except for fluids, because it's a subjective thing whether a fluid is a fluid. Very, very successful podcast now. And how do people access that, Dinesh?
Dennis, it's available on audio at Apple and Spotify and Google, and on video on YouTube and Rumble. So it's available either to listen to or to watch on video, and it's got a lot of followers on both platforms.
And as well as at the Salem Podcast Network.
Yes, absolutely. It's on salemnow.com also.
Right, which has a growing presence in the world of the internet. So one of my joys is talking to somebody I respect and not knowing if I differ or agree on a certain subject. So I asked you whether or not there is this unbridgeable gap between those who want to control us. Because I asked you, I'm reviewing this for my listeners' sake. So I asked Dinesh, what is the ultimate end game of the left? And he said, the joy of control. And I believe that is true. I have an additional, not a contrary, additional view. I believe that they're animated by a love of chaos. Chaos leads to control, but I think that there is a deep element of chaos. If you have to say men give birth, that's more chaos than even control, though that it's related to both. Okay, so I said I don't see in me the desire to control. I could see in me the desire to rob a bank. Okay, I don't. It's immoral. It's illegal. It's etc. But I can understand robbing a bank. I don't understand the desire to control people like Gavin Newsom controls the people of California. I can't relate to it. But you said, but in fact, it may be more universal than I, Dennis, think. And if one has the opportunity to truly, let's say, ban ideas that are perceived as injurious, a lot of people would want to do so. So I give you an interesting counterexample. It made a big impact on me as a very young person. As a kid, there was a march in Skokie, Illinois by Nazis, not neo-Nazis, real deal American Nazis, swastikas and all. And they chose Skokie because they were sadists. That's where a lot of Holocaust survivors lived. So these people had to relive the horror of seeing Nazis march down their streets. Virtually every Jewish organization, every liberal organization defended the Nazis' right. I would defend the Nazis' right to march in a Jewish neighborhood in the United States. So even if I had the power to suppress the march, I wouldn't use it. So tell me why that does not somewhat answer your challenge to me.
I would say that in a strange way, it corroborates what I've been saying in this way. It's not really a counterexample. Here's all I would point out, and that is that, I mean, I agree with your position with regard to Skokie, but I would say that that is a hard-won position, by which I mean that's not the natural way to feel. If you're, and I don't have to tell you this, but I mean, if you're a Jewish family, let's say with Holocaust survivors in your ancestry or your parents and so on, you see these Nazis marching, you're initial, natural, understandable impulse is to round those guys up and stop them from doing that. Not only are they exercising a right to free, they're doing it with deliberate, provocative motive. So you'd be like, what possible good can be achieved by that? And your impulse is to stop it. Now, you have to be sufficiently tutored in the principles of liberty to suppress that natural impulse and say, even though I feel that way and I'm right to feel that way, I'm going to hold back because I believe in the principle of free speech. If they start with the Nazis, next they'll be getting the socialists and next they'll be getting everyone else. And so you have to deploy this battery of arguments for why you should abstain from doing what is natural to do. And that's what I was getting at. The impulse to tyranny, to control, is natural. It's not even entirely wrong, but liberalism or classical liberalism teaches us to suppress it in appropriate instances.
So that, fair enough, it's an excellent answer. So therefore, that would mean that in Dennis and Dinesh, the love of liberty has been so deeply assimilated into our beings. That's the reason for the gulf between us and the left.
Yes, although if tempted, you know, we are, I would say you and I are in the, I would say loosely in the virtue business, which is to say we believe not just in the free society, but the virtuous society. So if somebody were able to say to us, hey, Dinesh and Dennis can get together and essentially regulate the sexual mores of the whole society so we have wholesome families, very little divorce, very little of all the stuff we see going on today, we would be tempted to say, yeah, you know, this might be a good way to go. Our society has lost its moorings, and if you and I were in charge, we can help to restore them. So virtue is always a temptation to override liberty. And here's my point. that for the left, they have developed this artificial sense of virtue and indignation, so that they too, their tyrannical impulses are always driven by some claim to higher virtue. It's not that they don't see the value of liberty, but they're willing to override it in the name of some greater good.
Wow. Good stuff. All right. Watch his video at PragerU explaining this new Marxism, and watch his podcast through Salem and so many other venues. Thank you, Dinesh. Dinesh D'Souza himself. Dinesh, congratulations on a great video. This is a very new thing, I think. I mean, I'm a student of the left my whole life. I was not fully prepared to have a Marxism based on sexuality, sexual identity, sexual preference, and race. Marxism was always based on class. When did the change take place and why?
Well, this is a fascinating story. As you say, Marx cared only about the economic or class division between, you may call it the rich and the poor, or more precisely between the working class and the capitalist class. And Marx thought that worldwide that was the only distinction that mattered. But interestingly, Marx had made all these predictions, including the prediction that there would be a working class revolt in the developed countries, in Germany, in France, in England, and so on. And when that didn't happen, the Marxists began to scratch their heads to figure out why. Now, they could have just concluded, you know, Marx was wrong, let's throw out all this Marxism stuff and start again. But they decided no. They said, basically, here's the problem. And the Italian communist named Antonio Gramsci was kind of the pioneer of this thinking. He said, look, the problem is that the working class goes to church. The problem is that the working class goes to school. So they absorb, Gramsci argued, bourgeois culture, the culture of, that is the culture of the family, of faith, of religion, of patriotism. So Gramsci said, we have to fight them there. We need to take over the universities. We need to take over the institutions of culture. We need to promote Marxist culture, and that will dissolve the sympathies of the working class for the bourgeois class. So this is how this all got started. Gramsci laid out the doctrine in the 1920s, and then the left in America adopted it wholesale in the 1960s. So we've now seen a 50-year project of leftist infiltration of the institutions of culture, one that has given them, I would say, a virtual monopoly, certainly over the institutions of high culture.
So, in a nutshell, if a nutshell is possible here, or if any answer is really possible, what do you think the end of the left is?
Well, I think that their end is social control. It is tyranny. It is the joys of tyranny. I mean, if we think of what dictators have aspired to since ancient times, it's the idea of having your foot or your thumb on everybody else's neck, because then not only can you lift their pocketbook and keep the proceeds for yourself, but you can direct their lives in all kinds of ways. So the Napoleonic ambition. Now, I think the difference is that in the ancient world, tyranny was somewhat limited because the reach of these kings was limited. They relied on the nobles to pay them all kinds of fees and so on to raise an army. But today, with modern technology, if you can create an alliance between government and the captains of industry, you can establish a regime of control that, you know, old Napoleon would never dream of.
So you said, you coined a phrase, maybe it's not coined for you, but it was coined for me, the joys of tyranny. And that's very, I think that that's very insightful. There is a gap between them and us that is unbridgeable. You and I and every conservative I know has no joy in controlling others. So where does this come from? I mean, I'm asking huge questions only because I so respect your mind. I don't even know if answers are fully available. Maybe it's built into certain people's natures. Where do you think it comes from? I have zero desire. I have a lot of bad desires. I have a sinful nature like others. But I have to admit, one of those sins is not a desire to control anybody.
Well, I slightly disagree, and I don't disagree about you, but I mean, I disagree that that there are two kinds of people in the world, the potential tyrants and the lovers of freedom. Let me put it a slightly different way. If somebody were to come to me and say, hey, Dinesh, you agree that good books improve people and bad books harm people, don't you? I would say, yes, I do agree. And then if they were to say, let's imagine a society where you, Dinesh, have complete control over every book that people read. You get to decide what they read, and all the bad books, in your opinion, will be destroyed forever and burned. Would that be an attractive proposition for you? I would have to confess, immensely so. In other words, I would think that we could rid society of all kinds of evils if I was completely in charge and I established the curriculum for the whole world. Now, I realize this is all just a thought experiment here, but I guess what I'm trying to say, I think the desire, the tyrannical impulse is there in human nature.
Fascinating. This is truly an important discussion. See his video. It is up at PragerU.com. Okay, everybody, Dennis Prager here. I want to definitely repeat that thought often. If only evil people did evil, the world would be a good place. That's become clear to me. That's why I wrote my essay, The Good, or my column, The Good German. The number of good Americans, and I mean it. Look, this country I love. But I've been sobered about my fellow American. I fully acknowledge it. The ease with which people can be brainwashed in a free country where there are alternative sources that give you much more truth. There's much more truth on talk radio than at the New York Times. It's not comparable. It's not comparable. And, of course, we're challenged, like you heard today. I take every call that challenges me. Anybody challenge the New York Times other than Bret Stephens? Nope. Watching people lose their civil liberties in this country in the name of health, putting all politics aside, the ease with which Americans have accepted that millions of their federal citizens cannot make a living in the name of dubious science. Fauci is the scientist they picked. If they'd have picked any of the scientists that, for example, the Wall Street Journal publishes, we've had a different policy. They had a different scientist in Sweden, and they had a different policy. Number of Americans who have died of COVID who shouldn't have died had they been given a treatment instead of waiting for them to be hospitalized. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc. It's a mass homicide by sweet people known as doctors. Okay? Most doctors are nice people. It's a pretty big evil to have deprived the American people of a therapeutic. Pretty big. It's like gigantic evil. Okay? But they're good people. And I mean it. I'm not being sarcastic. The human condition is a complex one. Jerry, Jeff, Dan, Rob, David, Jim, Stan, please forgive me. We move on with the Dennis Prager Show.
Did you vote for Donald Trump? Does that make you a criminal or even a terrorist? Well, there are some in this city and across the nation, members of the so-called elite, who believe that to be the case. And it's not just the fringe, it's the mainstream legacy fake news industrial complex. Listen to this former Democrat Hill staffer who today calls himself a journalist, Jake Tapper.
If there's no effort at accountability, this is not going to be the end of MAGA terrorism. This will only be the beginning.
MAGA terrorism? If you believe in making America great again, that makes you a terrorist. Well, let's ask the man I call my rabbi. He is the Solomon of the Salem Radio faculty, the co-star of an incredible movie, No Safe Spaces, and the founder of one of the most influential freedom-fighting organizations in America, Prager University. Dennis Prager, welcome to Greg Kelly Reports.
It's great to be with you, my friend.
Dennis, this isn't just journalists at CNN. This is also members of the Biden administration. Here you can see Lloyd Austin, former general, who is being confirmed doing his Senate testimony. He's now the Secretary of Defense. And in that testimony, he said there are enemies, quote unquote, enemies in the ranks of the U.S. military, people who he politically disagrees with. As an expert on dictatorial regimes, a man who traveled extensively in the Soviet Union before it collapsed, how disturbed are you by the language being mainstreamed in American politics today?
How disturbed am I on a scale of 1 to 10? About 9. And I am not easily disturbed. I wrote a book on happiness. I am a very easygoing guy, as you know. Ronald Reagan was right. Freedom is always one generation from being erased. Liberty is not a human instinct. People prefer to be taken care of than to have liberty. Liberty is a value, not a human instinct. The notion that all men or humans wish to be free is nonsense. All humans wish to be taken care of. A handful of people value liberty. That is why liberty is on our coins, along with E Pluribus Unum and In God We Trust. It is a value to remind people of. Over the entire post-World War II era has been gradually taken over in the media and in academia, forget Hollywood, by people on the left. And I want to make something clear, Sebastian, as you know, I always do, this very important point, to me at any rate, and that is that liberalism has nothing in common with leftism. The tragedy is that liberals do not recognize this and they vote left. That is the American tragedy. Liberals do not vote their values. If liberals voted their values, they would vote Republican. We conservatives are the guardians of freedom in this country. The left, everywhere it is taken over, no one knows this better than you. I know it's second best. You lived under it, but I immersed my life in the study of the left since my graduate work, where I specialized in. In fact, you may not know this. My mentor at Columbia, the head of the Communist Affairs Department at the Russian Institute where I was Zbigniew Brzezinski. So I was with him regularly, I learned Russian solely in order to read Pravda, and.
Let me ask you, Dennis.
Read the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Yeah, they have become Pravda, Izvestia, TASS. In the last minute we have with you, Dennis, and please check out PragerU.com. Dennis, how important right now, not for just you and me, radio hosts or political figures, how important is it for all Americans to rediscover the virtue of courage?
Goodness cannot exist without courage. Courage is not built in. I gave a speech on it, actually, how to become courageous. It was very complex. I worked very hard on that talk. It's available at my website. I'm not trying to sell a speech. I just want people who are interested to know that. And the first thing that you must decide is that you want to be courageous. That is 60% of the task. I have friends in orchestras because I conduct orchestras as an avocation. I have friends in some of the major orchestras who have decided to come out of the closet. You know, there was a time in America, which is true, gays were in the closet. Now conservatives are in the closet. And you have to decide, will you come out of the closet? And this I can assure every one of your viewers, and of course your listeners on your radio show, I can assure them this, they will sleep better when they come out of the closet.
Right. This is crucial for all Americans to understand. Listen to Dennis Prager. Courage is a choice. Look at Gina Carano. Look what happened to her. It is a choice, and you can do it. Check out Dennis's amazing new book, The Rational Bible, and please support PragerU. Now, let's let him get back to his wonderful muse, Susan, the most famous dog in America, Otto, and I know to maybe a Friday night cigar.